He scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, let's get it going. It is Thursday, May 1st. It's gonna be May. Welcome, welcome. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio on this Thursday edition of the program. Flames Talk available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for hanging out with us as well, Mr. Vickers. Hello, sir.
How many people did you send the Justin Timberlake gift to?
You know what? I actually was thinking about that this morning, and I was like, boy, did I miss out on It's Gonna Be May.
So
missed out big time on April 30th.
Shout out to my buddy Wade. I always send it to him April 30th. I got it in at about 11:30. He responded, just in time.
Just in time. I like that. You know, as Justin Timberlake's career takes a turn for the worst, it has.
You're not wrong.
It's taken a bit of a turn for the worst. His shows haven't been doing so well on his latest album that nobody bought.
There is a latest album?
Yeah, oh. Apparently nobody bought it. No. On the shows, he's only singing new songs. Like people are like, play Sexy back. And he's like, no, I'm going to play track 4 from the album nobody bought. Anyway, there's legit rumors of an NSYNC reunion. There's a group that has not been together since the early 2000s.
Surely they must have done a spot start or something.
They did one song for the Troll soundtrack. They've done a couple of like spot things here and there.
Does anybody want to see a 45-year-old boy band?
For nostalgic reasons, I'd be all over it. That's a conversation for a different day, though. Steinberg Vickers, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Happy May 1st. And the summer is fast approaching. It's a beautiful, beautiful Thursday in the city of Calgary. We've got lots to get to this hour. But want to start with this because I think it's pretty cool that Ryan Huska is going to the World Championship with Team Canada. This is the first time the head coach of the Calgary Flames has coached with Team Canada since the World Juniors more than a decade ago. He coached the World Juniors in Buffalo and in Calgary Edmonton in 2011-2012 and has not been with Hockey Canada in a coaching capacity since. This is the first time Ryan has coached the National Men's Senior Team. So it's a pretty cool opportunity for him. And you're heading off to World Championship in just a few days. Canada will play a few pre-tournament games this week before they open up exactly 9 days from now against Slovakia. They'll play against Austria, then play against Hungary in pre-tournament games. We're expecting to see Zane Parekh in those games. Zane was not on the official roster named by Team Canada, but that could change depending on how he does in some of these pre-tournament games that they play. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's way more Flames representation than normal, and just feels like there's a little bit more of a buzz around this because this is the final big senior men's tournament before the 2026 Olympic Games.
Yeah, I know that was not that I haven't been blessed to go multiple times, but I know it's one of the motivating factors in me going over to Herning, Denmark, and Stockholm, Sweden, is the fact that this is sort of the tune-up, if you will, to the Olympics next February. And for a lot of players, it's your final, outside of NHL ice, but it's your final way to make an impact directly to Hockey Canada wearing their jersey. Same thing for Team USA, for Slovakia, Czechia, Sweden, so on and so forth. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of bigger names participating, a lot of guys that were either in the four nations whose playoffs aspirations didn't happen or ended early. And a lot of those players that were on the cusp that might've been one cut away, two cuts away, jumping in to join this tournament because it is such a good showcase if you do want to compete in the Olympics.
A little bit later on this hour, we'll dive in on the war of words that has emerged from Winnipeg, St. Louis. Damn, that's turned into a really good Central Division rivalry. What a game five as the Blues now find themselves on the cusp of elimination in that series. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Oilers have an opportunity to advance. Can the Kings push this to game seven? All of that still to come this hour. But right now, let's head down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and check in with Calgary Flames head coach Ryan Huska. He is in Vienna, Austria right now with Team Canada, ahead of the World Championship later this month. He's part of Dean Evason's staff. Dean Evason, head coach of the Blue Jackets, is Canada's head coach. His assistant in Columbus, Steve McCarthy, is with them, as are Ryan Huska and Nashville Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Now, full disclosure, this is not live. I spoke with Ryan a few hours ago on this Thursday because of the 8-hour offset. So it's just after 11 p.m. in Austria right now. So figured instead of getting Ryan Huska on at 11 p.m., we talked to him and pre-taped this a little earlier. So I had a chance to chat with Ryan Huska ahead of the World Championship. Well, he'll be a part of Team Canada staff a little earlier on this Thursday. Ryan, I guess tell us how this came about and how you got the call and how this ended up coming to be as you're over in Europe now getting ready for the tournament.
Well, it did happen fairly quickly. I will say that it was, I think, the day that we got home from LA after our last game. Connie mentioned that he had a call from Kyle Dubas, I guess to kind of gauge what my interest would be. So I had a short conversation with Connie, and I made sure I let him know right away that I'd be honored if they did want to have me come along for this. And then it kind of goes fairly quickly from there. Scott Salmon the next day, and then Kyle Dubas you talk to, and then all of a sudden you're in Vienna. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. No. So sounds like it was a pretty easy no-brainer for you, hey?
For me, it was. I mean, you. As a player, I would think it's one of the coolest things for these guys to do, and I feel the same way as a coach. I was lucky enough to do it for a couple go-rounds with the World Juniors when they were in Buffalo and in Calgary way back when.
Yeah.
And this is my first time with the men's team, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a great opportunity for a coach to spend some quality time with other great coaches and try to learn a few new things and have an opportunity to continue to work with some great players along the way. And we're expecting to have a real good team here, so we're quite excited about it.
Yeah, you mentioned 2011 and 2012 when you had an opportunity to be on those World Junior squad. Kind of like, what do you remember about those experiences going back more than a decade now?
Yeah, it's you know what you do remember is the connections that you make, whether it be with the players or the staff. And you and I talked a little bit off the air about the experience that Hockey Canada tries to create for you. And they try to make it something that you leave the event knowing that, man, that was so great to be a part of. Not just because of the competition and really the ultimate goal of trying to win a gold medal, but it's all the other things that are involved with it. Spending time together with some new people in great places, like right now we're in Vienna, for example, so you get to have an opportunity to explore a different part of the world with a new team, a new group. And I think the memories that are created and the experiences that all these players and staff members get are the things that keep them coming back for other Hockey Canada events.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. And it's you talked about, you know, the way Hockey Canada goes about things, and you know, you've got some pre-tournament games before things get going in a little bit here. You play your first game on May 10th, so you got a week and a half or so to be around the team, be around the coaches in Vienna, then off to Budapest. Like, what is going to be important here in the next 8-9 days as you try to get acquainted with everybody and come together as a team?
Yeah, and I think you kind of alluded to it. I think maybe the team building or trying to get the players to understand how Dean and the staff want to play while we're over here. And the first little bit of it, I think, is just getting the players back on the ice again. Some of them have had some long travel and some challenges getting over here. So I think it's mainly about that. And then I think you'll see there might be a few more additions once that first round of the playoffs yep. is done. So I think the main part of it early on is getting the guys together, starting to get them understand how the team is going to be looked to play. And then it's just try to build from there.
So the Hockey Canada announced Dean Evason as the head coach, and then you as an assistant, Andrew Burnett, head coach of the Nashville Predators, as an assistant, and Steve McCarthy also on Dean's staff in Columbus. So tell us about this staff that you're going to be working with.
Really good group of guys, and I've been now two nights we've been together here in Vienna, and we've had some really good meetings the last couple of days, talking a lot about hockey, getting ourselves organized for the days ahead. It's like a mini training camp that you put on while you're over here, so you get organized for that. And then you have some dinners together, and You laugh a lot of times. There's some good stories that are getting thrown around, but you also talk about players and you talk about the game in a non-formal manner. And I think that's sometimes where you pick up the most stuff. So I'm excited. All the guys that are a part of this staff are really good people, and I'm looking forward to getting to know them better.
What what is your role going to be, Ryan? Like, in terms of what you'll be taking care of behind the bench?
Yeah, my main responsibility will be the penalty kill.
Okay.
And it's something that I love. I'm passionate about, so I'm excited about that opportunity to try to help these guys along in that area.
Okay, very cool. We're chatting with Ryan Huska, head coach of the Calgary Flames, also with Team Canada at the World Championship, which gets going a little bit later on this month. What's it like having Mackenzie Weegar along there with you and Zane Parekh as well?
Well, it's neat. You have some faces that you know. I'm very familiar with both those guys. And I think just in a different setting, maybe, and me being in a different role will allow me to get to know them even better than the way I feel like I know them, especially Mackenzie right now. But I think it's neat. And the other thing for me is I get a chance to watch these guys try to do something on the international stage now. And I know Mackenzie's had some success. A few years back, they had the team that nobody expected to win, and I know they came home with a nice color medal. And I think for Zane, it's about me watching him, see what he's able to do with this experience. Like, how long is he able to stay here? Is he able to be here for the whole thing? Like, can he push people out of jobs? All that stuff. So I'm excited for what Zane's going to be able to do, and I'm really happy that Hockey Canada is giving him this opportunity.
Ryan, how excited were you when you heard that if we focus on Mackenzie, that, as you mentioned, second time in 3 years, and he took the call and decided to go once again? Just from a, you know, obviously you're going to be there too, but also from a Flames perspective, how excited were you when you heard that he answered yes to that call?
Well, even, I mean, Pat, we can look further than just Mackenzie. We have a lot of guys that are representing their country now. One thing I will say to that is we don't want to see that happen again because, you know, we want to be playing playoff hockey. But I think at this time of the year, if you're not able to get yourself into the playoffs, still getting that competition at a really high level is important for players, and I think it's important for coaches. There is that thirst to win. You want to be the best against the other people that you're competing against, and this gives them an opportunity to play in some meaningful games. And Mackenzie has a good idea about that from his gold medal win a few years back. And those are all things that you can bring back to the Calgary Flames. So whether it's Mackenzie, Zane, or if it's Michael and Rasmus, Adam Klapka now, they're going to gain great experiences that are going to allow them to come back to Calgary and being just a touch more comfortable playing in a situation that there might be a little more pressure in at times next year for them. And I think it's going to allow them to be ready for those situations when they arise.
It's funny, as I think back as the season went along, and, you know, you'd have a pretty good idea of what we're asking you on a daily basis about players on your team. Like, did Mackenzie Weegar get asked about enough this year in terms of how important he was for your group?
I don't know if he did, actually. It's a good question, Pat, because when you look at the one guy that I think was consistent from the beginning of training camp right through our very last game of the year, it was Mackenzie. And, hey, there was the odd night where you're like, oh, Weeks, where were you tonight? Or that wasn't his best game, or maybe he turned the puck over in certain situations. But I would put him right up there with some of our other leaders that set the standard for the way the team had to play. And he committed to that, and he made it consistent. So I really feel like he took it upon himself, or he feels like it's partly his responsibility now to keep pushing our team. And I don't know if he got enough credit for that. He was our most consistent guy on the back end. And then once we paired Hanley and him together, I even felt like his game continued to improve for us. So he did so many great things for us here this year that I'm looking forward to seeing him continue to do that in the future.
And you mentioned the opportunity for Zane and being around some really good players, some of the best players on the planet who unfortunately didn't make the playoffs, but and pushing players and seeing if he can get into more and more opportunities. I'm just curious as to how valuable this opportunity could be for Zane.
Very similar to what I was talking about with the other players. This one for Zane now, He's been around the Calgary Flames. He's been around Mackenzie Weegar. He's been around Huberto and Kadri. Now he gets to see how some of these other guys approach competition as well. And when you're a young 19-year-old kid that's kind of learning your way, you can kind of hitch your wagon to certain players, and you want them to understand why those certain players are successful. And so he's got an opportunity to be around quality for a long period of time. And then hopefully he takes some of what he sees from them, how they prepare before games, how they take care of themselves after the games, how they find a way to be consistent. Those things matter. And for a young guy to get that experience, I think is invaluable. And it's even going to set him up for greater success when he comes back into camp next year.
And I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Sean Kelso, Kent Kabelka, and Dr. Yeah. Ald, all there with you too. So it's some pretty good familiarity for you.
Well, I've said all year long that in various interviews that I think we have the best medical staff in the NHL, led by Dr. Ald, who's our main physician, and Kent Kabelka, who is our head therapist. I think they provide players with whatever they need to help them get back on the ice or help them stay out of that sick bay, if you want to call it that, better than any other team in the NHL. They're all fantastic at what they do, and you guys know full well what Sean Kelso is all about and the quality person that he is and the job that he does all the time. So it is neat to see these guys around here, and I'm really hopeful we can all come home back to Calgary with a gold medal together.
Just a few more with head coach Ryan Huska of the Calgary Flames, also with Team Canada on their coaching staff of the World Championship a little bit later on this month. So you take a look at whether it's Macklin Celebrini or Ryan O'Reilly, Adam Fantilli. We talked about Mackenzie Weegar, Noah Dobson, some pretty high-quality players that you've got already. And as you said, might be more that join the group as the event gets closer and closer. Just tell us about the team so far and what you like about the players that you've got with you right now?
Well, there's a good skill set. Like there's a nice mix where you see some veteran players, like you alluded to. Ryan O'Reilly is an older player that's been captains along the way. And then you mix it in with the young skill. And I think that's what makes it so exciting for me is, you get to kind of see how someone like Ryan O'Reilly will help bring along a Macklin Celebrini. And again, it's how they all come together in a short tournament is what's going to be neat for me to watch. And then the other thing, I like to be on the ice with guys like that, whether they're old or young. These guys all said yes when they were asked to come over here, so they're very passionate about it. So I think it's going to be a really enjoyable experience working with all of them, young, old, whatever the case may be. The most important thing is we find a way to come together quickly as a team.
How you kind of alluded to this a little earlier, but How can an experience like this, as you said, this is your first time with the men's senior team and the national program in that way. Like how can an experience like this make you a better coach coming back from this experience?
Well, one, you're going to get some new ideas from the coaches that I'm going to spend a lot of time with on our staff. Two is you get a chance to watch some international hockey, how some different federations play the game. I think those are really important. But a lot of what I like to take from it is the demeanor of the coaches that I work with. Like, are there situations on the bench where I could take something from Dean, or I can take something from Bruno? Like, that's what I really like to do. I like to watch. I do a lot of listening, and I try to pick things from the different coaches that I admire and think they do really well, and try to incorporate into my preparation, if you will. So all those things are so important for me and so valuable, which makes this opportunity so valuable for me, because I do think it's going to help make me a better coach. And at the end of the day, I have to get better every year if I'm going to help the Calgary Flames get better. And that's just the way I look at it.
You mentioned it a little earlier as well, like grateful for this opportunity, but also you don't want this opportunity to present itself because you'd rather be playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. It's been exactly 2 weeks now, Ryan, since the season came to an end for the group. And I'm just curious as to where you are now. I mean, we talked to you on Locker Cleanout Day. You sat down with us. I'm just curious as to where your head is now. Is the debrief done and you're all focused already on next season? Like, where's the head coach his mind on the season that is now 2 weeks behind you?
No, I still think about it. I mean, there's I look and I am at 96 points. It bothers me that we're not making the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
When I think our guys did a lot that was asked of them to put themselves in the position to be able to get there. And I've done a lot of thinking about, okay, well, how do we find a way to get that one or two extra points that will allow us to get in? So those things are always going to be there. I think the notes that you make along the way throughout this tournament, and then we'll eventually have coaches meetings when we get back to Calgary, then I think you can kind of put it behind you and move on. I think with this opportunity in front of me, things kind of, there's a few loose ends still with how we want to fix some things, and those are all things that we'll pick up when I get back from this tournament.
Ready to go? Like, you feeling like hey, you're here? I know it's only been like 48 hours or so that you've been on the ground in Europe, but do you feel like ready to go for these pre-tournament games and to get the puck dropped on the tournament in 9 days?
Yeah, practice starts tomorrow, and I know all the coaches are excited and looking forward to it. The only challenge I have right now is I'm still waiting for my skates to get here. I lost a couple bags coming in. My clothing bag finally showed up, but my skate bag hasn't yet. But I'm sure they'll find another pair of skates somewhere around for me to put on the ice. So I know all the coaches are excited about getting out there, as the players are as well.
Well, fingers crossed on the skates. It's really cool. We'll be watching back here, Ryan, and really glad that you get this opportunity with Hockey Canada and Team Canada. Good luck bringing home gold. Thanks for doing this today. As always, really appreciate the time, Husk.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pat. Nice talking with you again.
That's the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Ryan Huska, kicking off Flames Talk this hour with us. He will be on Dean Evason's staff at the World Championship. Spoke with him a little earlier on this Thursday as it's, approaching 11:30 p.m. in Vienna, Austria, where he is right now. But, it'll be Dean Evason, head coach, with assistants Ryan Huska, Andrew Burnett, and Steve McCarthy. See if Husk can get his skates in time for the first practice on Friday morning. He will be taking care of the penalty kill, which I think is pretty cool. Back to his NHL assistant roots. He'll be doing the penalty kill with Team Canada, which he was very good at as an assistant here with the Flames.
That's why I don't check luggage.
Yep.
In fact, I'm doing a test run on this backpack to see, lug it around town a little bit, see if this is the one I want to bring or if it's the other one. You got to pre-scout all this stuff. Come on, coach. He has a few more things to take.
A little bit different when you're
when you're bringing metal blades.
You're also going for like a month. A, B, you are taking skates and all the other things that you take as hockey players. And
plus
coaches.
All the amount of Hockey Canada apparel that's going to find his suitcase.
Exactly. You gotta find some stuff to bring back. So the World Championship for Team Canada starts in 9 days as we're talking right now. Their first game is in Stockholm against Slovakia. It'll be Sam Honzek and Slovakia against Mackenzie Weegar and Team Canada. We'll see if Zane Parekh works his way onto the squad. Parekh will be a part of the pre-tournament games. They will play one in Vienna against the Austrian national team, then relocate to Budapest and play one against the Hungarian national team before they fly to Stockholm and then play the first game of the tournament for real against Slovakia. But we'll see. I mean, they're going to give guys like Parekh an opportunity to play in these pre-tournament games and then see if they stick around. Do they get to stick around for the rest of the tournament? Do they get to stick around and be practice players even if they don't get into games? Or do they impress enough in practice and impress enough in pre-tournament games to say, hey, we got to put Parekh into this tournament and get him a game or two? That's up to Zane, but I think it's a pretty cool opportunity, and obviously to have a guy like Mackenzie Weegar leading the way once again is a pretty good guy to have there as well.
Yeah, not rare for Canada to bring a few extra younger bodies and then just have them designated as non-roster players. That way, if you do run into injury problems, you don't have to set your roster right from day one of the tournament. So you already have guys over just in case. Canada naming 5, I believe it was, defensemen to their initial 15. So not a lot of room back there, but at the same time, you never know when opportunity could strike.
Ryan Huska joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Goodness gracious, this series between the Winnipeg Jets and St. Louis Blues has, A, been awesome. Like, hockey's been great. All five games have been really intense. It's now a 3-2 series lead for the Jets going into Friday night and Game 6 back in St. Louis. Blues facing elimination for the first time. But Vix, Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you this hour on Flames Talk. No Mark Scheifele for the Jets. He will not travel to St. Louis for Game 6. He was rocked not once, but twice in the first period. Once by Braden Schenn, and then again by Radek Foxa. One of them was fully clean. One of them was not.
Correct.
Schenn got 2 minutes for interference on his hit, and that was the first one. Scheifele stayed in the game, played a little while longer, and then got belted late in the first period by Foxa, which was clean.
Stood up hard.
I was like, oof. I felt winded watching that, but sparked a wee bit of a controversy and a bit of a war of words. Look, I got to be honest with you.
Love it.
I've been covering this sport for however long and watching it for however long. There's still very few things that get me more fired up than coaches beaking at each other in the media, or even better, when they're yelling at each other on the bench. Like, there is something, it happens once or twice a year when you get coaches like peering over the bench and chirping at the other coach, a la Bob Hartley, John Tortorella, or when Patrick Waugh went after Bruce Boudreau, or like those types of things. I love it. Coaches getting mad at coaches in game. Anyway, so this was Jim Montgomery. That's the voice you'll hear first, head coach of the Blues, and then Scott Arneil, head coach of the Jets, on the Scheifele hit that has him out for Game 6 of this series.
Let's make it clear. 55 got hurt from the Faxa hit. He played 6 minutes after the Schenn hit. He didn't come back after he got rocked by Faxa.
Well, I didn't know Monty got his medical degree. I'm trying to say how our player got hurt. He's way off base. Should not make that comment. There's some things that have been going on in this series, and that was a repeat of what we've seen before. A player leaving his feet and then hitting a player in a very unprotected spot, like hitting them in the sense almost blindsiding them. Not happy how the call was made. 2 minute minor. Not even looking at it is what I was upset about. And it is something that we have talked to the league about for five games.
So you got Jim Montgomery saying, settle down. That's not even the hit he got hurt on. And then you got Scott Arneil saying, yeah, okay, where's your medical degree? Don't you dare talk about our players. I love it. Give me that all day, every day.
Just a couple of wrestling managers beaking back and forth there. Like,
good.
Cutting promos.
Just need some entrance music. Let's go. I don't have much of a problem with any of this, honestly. Look, maybe you're on the other side of this. I don't know where everybody in the room is. I thought Shen's hit was interference, but I thought 2 minutes for interference was just fine. He hit him hard. And it probably was interference.
It was charging, too. He left his feet. He left his feet before contact from my perspective. So,
but he still got him in the chest. There is no head contact.
Well, I'm not suggesting it was a headshot or anything like that. I just don't know.
Like, what is the problem here? I don't understand what... We're still talking about the NHL playoffs. Like, we're talking about the NHL postseason, the most physical 2 months of any sport, period. Guys get hurt, and I'm not trying to say that it's good when guys get hurt, but like, you win a Stanley Cup, every dude on your team is hurt. You win a Stanley Cup, everybody's nursing something. And yeah, Scheifele got belted twice, and the Schenn hit wasn't perfectly clean, but that is by far not the worst hit I've seen in this postseason. Like, the type of outrage that I saw on social media on Wednesday night, I thought was maybe not quite in line with the quote-unquote crime. I would have thought it would have been an overreaction if they gave Schenn anything more than they gave him. They gave him 2 for interference,
really?
2 for roughing.
Well, the roughing was an offsetting.
I get you that. Like, he, because I think it was Tanev or somebody jumped in and got the roughing with him. But like, okay, yeah, he hit him hard and away from the puck. That happens. Like, Matthew Tkachuk did the same thing to Brandon Hagel. He got 5. I thought that was a whole lot worse than what we saw Schenn do with Scheifele.
Really?
I don't know.
I didn't think the Kachuk one was that bad, to be honest with you. Yeah.
If you ask Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. But because that followed the...
I thought Dave Mishkin was going to jump in a car and drive down to ice surface. He was so upset about it.
The Shen one, to me, was interference and it was charging. To me, not a suspension. So I'm not concerned with the fact that he didn't get any games. If you tossed a fine his way, I wouldn't have batted an eye at it either. But to your point, yeah, the Blues are intentionally trying to hurt the Jets. And the Jets should be intentionally trying to hurt the Blues. This is playoff hockey. You hit to punish playing playoff hockey. You try to wear down your opponent over the course of a 7-game series. It's not scientific here. That's what the physicality portion of the game is there for, particularly in the playoffs, to grind down your opponent and make them pay every chance you get.
Which is why I was like, okay, hey, got the two for interference. Let's move on.
And now I'm ready to move on.
And Scheifele came back and played another 5 or 6 minutes. And look, I don't know
that Faxa hit. Oh, that was a beauty, though.
Maybe Jim Montgomery's right. Maybe he's wrong. I don't think Jim Montgomery has got his medical degree. But I guess I didn't come away from, like, here's, I thought, and Scheifele got suspended for this, but I thought Scheifele's hit on Jake Evans in the 2021 playoffs. I thought that was egregious. That was filthy.
That was
dirty. That was charging and a hit to the head and completely outside the bounds of the game. I thought what Shen did was...
That was more within the confines of the game. I will concede you that
there,
for sure.
Like it, it wasn't on his stick, but it was in the vicinity. It was more there than what Matthew did to Brandon Hagel.
Matthews was a little later. I will agree there.
Matthews
was the revenge hit for the hit on Barkov, was it?
Yeah, but Barkov was playing in that game. Like, Barkov didn't miss any time. Now, he was
questionable.
He might not be 100%, but, like, Kachuk's hit on Hagel reminded me of, like, when you're playing NHL 2001 and you're playing against somebody who's beating you and you just start going, hitting all their players away from the puck. That's what that reminded me of. Whereas, at least, Scheifele was in the vicinity. And again, got back up, finished the period, or close to it. Could very well be a cumulative effect of getting belted both times. I just don't think that we're talking about this, you know, miscarriage of justice that happened in game five because Braden Shen only got a 2. And they won the damn game. So, had they lost that game, I guess you could convince me that,
at the same time, not giving five.
But, like, you're not going to suspend him for that.
No.
So, like, what are we talking about here?
Well, the Jets are upset because arguably their most valuable forward is going to be missing arguably the most important game of the season. And game 7 will be more important than game 6 if they lose.
You're right.
So I understand their angst. But, hey, we're in an entertaining...
But would they be any less angsty had they given a 5 on that?
Well, I mean, they shouldn't. They shouldn't be more or less because, again, you go back, they won the game. They did what they had to do to win.
And they weren't going to give a suspension on that hit at any point.
No.
So, like, whether they gave him a 2 or a 5, I mean, it's kind of irrelevant.
Well, and let's stay with me on this, but a lot of this can be performance from Arneal's side to defend his player, to do the us against them thing, going into St. Louis, a building you haven't won in this series, yeah, a building that nobody in the NHL has won in regulation since February 7th, and trying to use, you're going to come after one of our best players and knock him out of the series, we're coming for you. It's sort of a rallying call from the coach. Some of this could be just performance art.
Kind of like what Paul Maurice did in the bubble.
Yeah.
That was a filthy play. Filthy. You're like, what? Like, we know who Matthew Tkachuk is. He didn't go trying to slice Mark Scheifele's Achilles tendon, okay?
First of all, he's not that good a skater that he can control his feet in that manner.
And I pulled up the quote.
Okay.
Maurice said, quote, "It was intentional. It was a filthy, dirty kick to the back of the leg. You can't see it on the program feed, but you take the blue line feed and you zoom in. He went after the back of his leg. Could have cut his Achilles. Could have ended the man's career. It's an absolutely filthy, disgusting hit." Unquote.
I don't mean to laugh, but...
Paul...
Like, that's performance art.
That was. And then Jeff Ward at the time basically was like, yeah, I know what Maurice is trying to do, and there's nothing there. And then after the series, Maurice is like, yeah, in the heat of a series.
I respect him as a player.
Let's move on. You're like, wait, you just called it a. You basically alleged that he tried to cut your captain's
tried to
leg
murder
off.
Him.
Like, my God, Maurice. Now we're not quite in that same category here, but on social media, I don't think Pat Dumas has recovered yet. I think Patty Dumas had to miss today's show because his boy Mark Scheifele got hit on a borderline hockey play. Welcome to the Stanley Cup playoffs. This stuff happens. And then again, like, I feel bad. I'm a big Scheifele fan. I love the way he plays. I love the fact that he committed to Winnipeg. I'm a huge Scheifele guy. I love that he doesn't swear. Good role model.
Was it Pajal?
Yeah, it was Pajal. On the chase.
Yeah. On the chase, yeah.
That's really good. But
flipping.
I can say that on air, right?
Like, I guess I came away from that one. I don't know if there's been anything so far. This is not Rafi Torres, right? Like, we're not talking about
this
things
isn't,
that are so egregiously over the line that we need to be losing our
was
minds.
Was it Tim with. Hunter on Pierre Turgeon after the goal? It's going way back now for you.
Wasn't Tim Hunter, was it?
I don't know who it was. I believe it was, but
I remember the hit you're talking about.
Yeah. After the goal?
Yeah.
The old chicken wing?
Oh, not... you said Dale Hunter, right? Or did you say Tim Hunter?
I thought I said Tim. It was Dale.
It was Dale Hunter.
Sorry,
so, yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. That makes more sense.
Just before we wrap up the hour, I still think the Jets are going to win the series, and good on them. That was a gutsy win. Boy, remember when Kyle Connor wasn't able to play in the playoffs? Like, remember, if you go back to the bubble series in 2020, the best of five between the Flames and Jets, it was like Kyle Connor not made for the playoffs. At different times, while the Jets haven't been able to get out of the first round in recent years, it's Kyle Connor, not built for the playoffs. This guy has been an absolute beast. That play that he made to Namestnikov after Scheifele was out, the two goals he scored at home in Game 1 and Game 2, Kyle Connor is having a hell of a postseason. This says, guys, I don't think people going out intently trying to knock people out of the series by dirty hits is what you call part of the game. Body checks are within the rules, but knocking a guy out of a series, just getting an interference penalty, that's kind of a joke. That comes from Brian. I don't necessarily agree that we're talking about Braden Schenn. This has got the, like, one of the nicest, most...
Has he ever been suspended?
I don't know, but like, I don't ever look at Braden Schenn, good Saskatchewan boy, as a dirty hockey player. Neither do I feel that way about his brother Luke on the other side.
If that's Tom Wilson, you look at it a little bit differently.
If that's Matthew Tkachuk, if that's Brad Marchand, like Martin Pospisil, if it's any one of those guys,
yep.
Then yeah, you're like, that's probably a dirty play. Braden Schenn, that's a heat of the moment. Yeah, did he leave his feet? Absolutely. Was it a penalty? 100%. But beyond that, I don't really know, like, what more would you want if you're a Jets fan? Even if they called it five. Okay, it doesn't matter. The Jets won the hockey game. He wasn't getting suspended. Are you feeling any better about losing your captain if it's a five-minute major? I don't know. And maybe you are. I don't know.
Schenn got suspended 3 games in April of 2016 for, drumroll, charging.
Charging. 2016, you said?
Yeah, so I think the statute of limitations has expired on that one.
Not a repeat offender in the minds of Department of Player Safety. This says it's not suspension worthy, but it's a 5-minute penalty as soon as he leaves his feet. That to me is a major. Fair enough. Maybe not. I thought
didn't
it was
impact
fine.
The outcome of the game.
I thought it was fine called the way it was on a 2-minute interference penalty. Ooh, look at that.
Ooh.
Cam put this clip in.
Uh-oh.
Joke, man. Are you flipping kidding me? You high stick me in the flipping face, you flipping dummy. Like, you're a flipping joke. He doesn't swear, eh?
He doesn't swear, eh?
Great stuff. Drop. Well done.
Well done, Cam. Well done. That was Braden Pajal. Okay,
nice
Cam. Schenn, crack the mic. Because it is Thursday, which means it's game 6 of the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh.
And the Los Angeles Kings.
I forgot about this.
We have charged Schenn with the crime.
Tampering.
He has been convicted of the crime of swinging the series Edmonton's way with his overly confident boasts of the Kings winning in five, was doing this after 2-0, was doing this in the third period of game four when the Kings were leading, both on the air and in our group chat. And so Shan has, like a man, a 24-year-old man, has stepped up and said, I will take accountability for this. And so because now we are trying to swing the momentum the other way, Shan has prepared a statement here on Flames Talk. Shan Virgie has the floor.
Yeah, I understand the mistake I made, so I prepared a statement. I'll keep it somewhat short, but it's something I'm not proud of, obviously. So with that being said, game seven.
That's your statement?
That's the statement?
Game seven.
I don't, it's very inauthentic when he's saying this with an Oilers jersey on.
Okay, I won't say that.
We can't bring
that.
This here. It's game seven. It's happening. I've thought about this. I realize that it's not on me. It is still on Jim Hiller. The man who's smarting up today.
But you jinxed the Kings, so aren't you supposed to jinx the Oilers? But saying game seven is just jinxing the Kings again.
I'm telling you, we're going to game seven.
I respect the man for trying to stay true to his convictions, and that's what Shan is doing. And with that, we hope he's right. But if it does not go to game seven,
you better have a real statement.
We are publicly shaving your head on the air on Friday.
I can't do that.
I have the equipment.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I'll make a real statement if that happens, but I'm not worried about it. Game seven.
Bring your shears on Friday. Start to wrap things up this hour. Aaron Vickers on Twitter, at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, Shan Virgie, and Cam Hughes, our outstanding producers. And this hour, coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.